G'day everybody and welcome to the show, and today we've got Damien not returning. How are you going, Damien?
Yeah, well, thanks, Pete. Mate, I'm doing pretty well up here. How's yourself?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. Just to let the viewers and listeners know, we've got a bit of a bad connection, so there'll be a bit of jolting, this and that, and pixelation every now and then, which you probably may see already, but it's probably the clearest we've been able to get it. What's the weather like up your way, mate?
Bright, sunny, and no rain at the moment, which is great.
Oh, we need the darn rain. We had a little bit of rain last night, but it probably only rained 3 times in the last 2 months. It's so bloody hot, we need it down this way.
Yeah, sure.
What's been happening up your way since we last spoke?
A lot of new sightings. Just pretty much the same old, except we've had a few reports up here. We had a couple of weeks ago, I took the Tundra Lakes UFO group for a night watch, and pretty much an hour after we left, a kilometre-long UFO was spotted, a golden UFO giving off a golden mist was spotted above the very same lookout that we were having a night watch from. And just before we left, I actually shown a laser, a high-powered laser, up in the atmosphere 3 times. And we actually received the flashback from the sky. It was witnessed by a few people. So that was quite phenomenal. But this UFO that was witnessed an hour later was seen by several people, independent witnesses as well. Also, people up on the lookout had stopped off to have a lookout at 1:30 a.m. in the morning, mind you. So it was quite a good sighting. It's made the local papers around here. I think it's gone around the world a little bit. But I've actually spoken to the gentleman who witnessed saw the UFO, and he drove from his home to witness it up at the lookout. And when he arrived there, there was several people already taking photos and video of this giant UFO hanging above there. So, I mean, coincidence that we were there an hour earlier and left, and then all of a sudden a giant UFO appears. I mean, that's too much of a coincidence to me, especially after shining a laser in the sky and getting some sort of, you know, flashback reply. It was quite amazing. So
Things happening, man. Like, as you know, I do a lot of that down here, and they'll flash up and power up and blink in and out, and it's absolutely awesome when that happens. That's hit the news, and that's sort of gone, starting to go viral, I guess, with, the amount of witnesses and the amount of photos and video. I guess it's not just one person doing it. There's a lot of people that have captured it.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like a big ass cigar, was it? You there, mate?
It was a long cigar. I heard reports that it was 1 kilometre long. About 1 kilometre long, I heard. But I've heard other reports that it was up to 600-700 metres in length. I wasn't there to see it myself, so I can't really make a prediction on the size of the object. But, I mean, anywhere from anything over 700 metres to 1 kilometre is quite long, as you know. So, I mean, it was a big craft, whatever it was. And it had a golden mist around it, which has been reported in many cases worldwide, in regards to these giant cigar UFO motherships that have come down. So quite a spectacular event.
They get about them cigars too. I've been getting some photos of that stuff lately, and I've noticed that in some of your photos too, that you've got the cigar type objects, and even a video of one with the orbs and stuff coming out of it.
Yeah, sure. We've seen quite a few of them. I've been lucky enough to capture at least 5 in the last, 8 months. A good video of one up at Hazelbrook in the Blue Mountains, west of Sydney in New South Wales. And that was quite phenomenal. It had ball spheres coming out of it, objects with multiple balls attached together coming out of it. It was quite phenomenal. It was a good sighting. And since then, we've seen quite a few. A little while ago, there was one near the moon. It was actually heading towards the moon. And I caught it in 3 photographs, and Melissa Kennedy and Marianne Wade were with me at the time.
Yeah, a good friend of mine. She was there when that happened, yeah.
Yeah. I've called them into the room straight away, and I've told them to keep their eye on to the left side of the moon, but this object never appeared again. It just seemed to disappear, which happens a lot of times with these sightings, as you know. As soon as you alert somebody else to them, they seem to disappear, or, you know, so it's sort of like it's your word. But thankfully, I've got photographs of the object to prove that it was there. So, but as you know, the phenomenon is that strange that it actually can, you know, they seem to play tricks or mind games almost with our people. In that respect, where they'll appear 1 second and as soon as you alert other people, disappearance, but it's phenomenal as far as I'm concerned, it shows a high degree of intelligence, and not just intelligence, I mean, you can put a thought across.
It's just gone totally silent on your end. We'll just give it a second to see if it comes back.
Yeah, you just...
Oh, there we go. It's come back now. It's come back now.
Okay, you just went completely pixelated on your end, so I'm not sure what's happening there, but...
Yeah, it's just a connection. That's what's... It's just going to cut in and out a lot of it, so we're just going to make do, I guess, unfortunately.
Sure.
Go figure. Yeah, that's it. Now, just quickly, I got some of your collage of UFO photos off your Facebook page. I'll just show these from my iPad onto the screen quickly, just so people have got an idea of the awesome stuff you've actually been capturing, because there's a lot of stuff. This is just a small amount, people, of what Damien's been getting, but I'll just hold this up. Can you see that, Damien?
Oh, I can see that, yeah.
I'll flick through them.
Yeah, quite a few phenomena there.
Oh, yeah, there's a white object.
Yeah, some of these were, that was a multiple witness object seen by three people.
And here's what, yeah, the one at the top of the moon, the one you just spoke about.
Yeah, that's the one where I got three photos of before it completely disappeared. That was quite a phenomenal object. And to the naked eye, it looked like a completely orange object. But when you slow it down with photographs, you see that there's two red balls that seem to fly up and down the length of the object at a very fast rate of speed, which is quite phenomenal. And to the naked eye, it looked like a completely orange-red object. Long, cylindrical, just like a typical, what you'd call a cigar-type UFO.
Yeah, no, it's trippy stuff to see. It's amazing when you see this type of thing. Here's another one here.
Yeah, that was another morning sighting that I had. And that just was hanging out there first thing in the morning, early, and it was just hanging in the sky. It started to move across the sky. I got another two photographs of it before it disappeared completely. That was another object that seemed to disappear in a complete haze, which is quite strange. It was there 1 minute and gone the next in a kind of a smoke almost. Yeah. So that's unusual. I've seen that many times before.
Yeah, I've seen that myself. I've even seen the beings do that, weird enough too. Here's some. I think this might be a Dunny Do one you got here. We were getting this type of stuff when I was up there with you.
That's right. Yeah, these strange mushroom type things that hang low in the sky. Occasionally they just hover in the same spot, and occasionally they move across town. Whenever they move across town, we'd receive the dogs and the animals in town, the cows, and everything would go absolutely crazy. It'd be like a chorus of animals, in a choir of animals going off all at once. And it was like the animals could sense the object and could pick up what was happening. It was quite unusual. And, it was quite spectacular because you knew that something was definitely happening. And whatever these things were, weren't usual. It's quite a phenomenon in itself. And before I'd moved to Dunny Do, I'd never seen an object like that move across the town. I'd never seen an object like that in the sky, let alone, something that would move across the town and then make the animals go crazy. So, yeah, it was quite a phenomenal sight. And a lot of people saw that too.
Yeah, I witnessed, over 40 crafts in the two nights I was there. Like, you and me together just beefed up that activity. So it was absolutely awesome. And that's the thing with your case, like with the Dunny Do part, or both parts. Whether you're in Taree or Dunny Do, or even when you're younger and you're in Sydney and when you were with your brothers and that, you saw, there's witnesses to what's going on. I think you had around 100 witnesses just in Dunny Do alone. There was police officers witnessing the phenomena there. So there's a large amount of witnesses to what's going on with your case. I've got this other collage here. This is some of the stuff I haven't seen yet. I know that you've had the Dunny Do part of stuff analysed by Jaime Massan, and that's passed. I don't think you've had an update on the Taree stuff yet, but this is some of the stuff I hadn't seen until recently, and it's pretty awesome stuff.
Oh, yeah, some new stuff. A lot of that was taken at Tipperary, which is a small mountain range just south of Taree here, and we've had a lot of activity there. One time, a lot of those objects were seen at Tipperary. I think one or two were seen at what's known as Breakneck Lookout, which is just north of Taree here, which is pretty much about 10 minutes drive from where I'm at the moment. But some of them were seen at Tipperary. A lot of them involved EMF meters going absolutely crazy whenever they saw it. You know yourself what they do, and one of those objects actually flew into the ground to the left of me, about a meter and a half to my left, and was witnessed by two people, including a CSIRO geologist who saw what was going on, and also an investigator called Michael Williams, who witnessed it himself too. And this object was about 2 meters in length, and the best way I could describe it, it looked like a matchstick, but a brightly lit matchstick. It was 2 meters long with a red top on it, and it flew right into the ground and disappeared into the ground next to me. And all this time, the EMF meter was going absolutely crazy. It was peaking right at the top. And during this time also, we're facing away from the valley behind us, but I decided to set up the camera recording in the valley behind me. And in high definition, in a period of about 4 minutes while this was all happening, I recorded about 18 objects coming down in the same position in the sky, changing direction, doing all sorts of strange things, and heading down towards one area, which was north of Tipperary, which would have been up further towards Taree at the time.
Is that the plane?
And it was quite amazing. We had objects.
Is that the area where planes and shit are going missing, and there's like that high strangeness area? Is that the place you've told me about a few times, and there's been like mutilations and
that's correct.
Stuff like that appear or happen there?
That's correct. We had a report from a farmer who lived basically in the Tipperary Valley a few years ago, and he told us that he'd actually stumbled across a cow that had been crawled out, its entire rectum had been crawled out all the way up into its stomach, and the cow was actually still alive, and the cow was looking at him, then looking over towards the bush, and then looking back at him, looking back towards the bush. Now, almost as like that, it was disturbed. Somebody, you know, like he disturbed the act of whatever was taking place. So the cow was still alive, amazingly. So he actually put the cow out of its misery and shot the cow because, you know, I mean, it was just he saw the cow was in a lot of pain. And it was just amazing that around about 10, 15 years ago, this happened, and there's been many cases around the report of cows going missing, and we actually stumbled across the carcass of a cow up there itself, still with the name tag, with the number of the cow that was lying on the floor near the actual cow itself, near the carcass, near the skeleton of the cow, and that was phenomenal. This was in the same area where this gentleman said he's seen this happen to this cow being caught out. He said that the cut and the actual hole was in the anus of this cow was directly perfectly round right up into its stomach, which is phenomenal. And I'm not sure that we would have equipment that could do that ourselves. I mean, even if we did, I mean, why would you go to a small little place like Tipperary and do something like that to just a poor little cow? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
You're exactly right. Some say there is the technology, but the problem is to have that actual power to run the lasers to do that out bush, you'd need like a whole bloody power plant to bring with you just out there to use it because of the power that's needed.
And exactly right.
Saying that, I think it would only just do the surface cut. It wouldn't do the far in-depth cut like you're talking about right in there.
Yeah, well, this was clean cut. It was precision cut, almost surgical, but surgical to the degree of being futuristic surgical. It was phenomenal. And the way that it was described to me, it was like the guy I'd just seen yesterday, and it was something that he could never forget and he's never has forgotten. And it was a phenomenal thing to see. It was something that you don't normally see every day. And, I mean, he lived in this valley for a good 5 years or so, and he's multiple objects, and during this time he'd feel multiple objects. He'd witnessed a flotilla of UFOs hanging above this valley, which is quite strange. Now, we've done a bit of research into this area, and the area itself is high in serpentine, which is a type of mineral which is used by humans on this planet for nuclear radiation shielding. You know, it's a quite a rare mineral, serpentine, and you know, and the fact that UFOs are seen above this area, and also we spoke to several people in the area as well, including one of the local shops in Nabiak, just near Tipperary. And we heard from several people, six of those people had either seen UFOs themselves or had heard of stories of family members or close friends had seen them themselves and fully believed their story. We heard of stories about UFOs, bright balls of light following cars around the mountain area, around there. We had two of those reports. So, I mean, it's something that's gone back at quite a long time. And about 10 years ago, the gentleman living there, and he actually had UFO groups from Britain and America come over to see him and see the UFOs themselves, actually camp out on the property, actually caught UFOs with their own cameras, went back to Britain and America, and who knows what's happened with that. But, I mean, it's a big case back then, and it's still going on. I mean, the first time I went to Tipperary, I caught what I describe as, you know, the evil lunar module.
I don't think I got the photo on me here, but it literally looks like you're sort of looking out on a gully or valley, and it looks like the bloody lunar module flying across the top of the
That's right, and it was a black object. That's why I called it the evil lunar module. It was a black object, and it had red lights all around it, and on the back of it, it had a bunch of red lights equally spaced, and on the side, it had about three red lights as well, which is quite unusual. I mean, this thing was moving so fast. I was using high-speed photography. You know, I think it was an older camera, so it was probably taking about two or three shots per second, but this object appeared in one of those shots and none of the others, and it's quite large and quite big. And since then we've caught and we've seen many objects, like I said before, flying to the ground, just to my left, all sorts of strange activities happening in that valley. So it's quite a hot spot as far as UFOs are concerned.
Have you seen much more of the crafts dipping, going into either water or the ground like you spoke about earlier? Because here we've... out at the weir where I've been doing CE5 or, you know, initiating contact, there's been times where the disc has just come down, like, tipped on its side, so it's on its side, and just gone voomp straight in the water, and you're just like, what? Like, you're usually like, what the hell, and blissed out from what's going on anyway and just tripping out, but that's just full on. And there's been a couple of times I've seen that same thing but going into the actual Earth. So has it been a common thing for you to see, or was that just sort of a one-off thing so far that you've seen that type of thing happen from the crafts?
Sure. Now, we've seen that a couple of times now. One time at some breakneck lookout, we saw a craft with multiple lights going around the perimeter, and that did a very similar thing. It dipped on its side, and then it sort of flew down to the ground and disappeared. And I've got a photo of it just as it dipped on its side, and just as it went near the ground, and then it was gone. And who knows where it went, But, I mean, I've seen them flying to the side of a mountain in the past and just completely disappeared where it did. The sound like a crash or some sort of something to you know, show that a craft has, you know, actually crashed, a physical solid object has crashed, but nothing. No rocks, no movement of any rocks, no explosions, no sound, no nothing. As you know, most of the objects that we see are completely silent, and that's what makes them so eerie, and so it's such a feeling you can't forget once you see them, and once you see what they do, you know, it kind of sticks with you, and the fact that they're so silent, I mean, out of the sightings that I've had in my life, going back to the age of, you know, 8, 9 years old, I've probably heard one noise associated with a UFO, and that was at Tipperary, the place I was talking about before, and that was a kind of, like, it sounded like a massively large bird flapping its wings, but it almost sounded mechanical, like it wasn't real.
And very low frequency to it and a very, 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 very high frequency to it at the same time?
Yeah, there was. There was a high frequency in the sound of the flapping, and there was a low humming associated with it. And then a few seconds later, we saw a light fly right over our heads. And this was quite low. It was just a ball of orange light, and then it disappeared. But we heard the sound preceding the light. So we heard the sound earlier than light, which is quite strange. I've never heard a sound like that in my entire life. I mean, I've heard a lot of birds flapping their wings, but never anything this loud and this, you know, connected with a low-pitched hum, which came with the sound. It was quite fascinating. And
is it similar to what's in my documentary, Confirmation? The sound that me and Carol heard that James Gilliland recorded?
Very similar sound indeed. Yeah.
I've heard that, and I've heard sort of like a weird... I guess it would be like an electrical hum is the best. Not exactly the same, but that's sort of the only way I can put it into human terms. It's sort of like an electrical power source hum. Or a hiss.
Sure, sure. That's exactly what I'd like. Sound like a very, very low electrical discharge. Almost like, a very low humming. But also, it was at the same time, it was low, it was still high-pitched to the point where you could actually hear it flying with the naked eye. You could actually hear it over the louder sounds of these flapping sounds that we heard, like on mechanical wings of some description. It was quite unusual. But out of all the sightings I've had, it's the only one that I've ever heard of.
Yeah, well,
sound associated with animals and cattle going crazy, you know. It's always been completely eerily silent, so...
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I've even noticed that while doing contact is everything will go quiet and for a period you'll hear like the cicadas or the crickets going off and then that will stop.
Sure, sure.
And then you're
sure.
Like, yeah, like you just pick up on it straight away and I don't know how many experiences or sightings I've had. It's ridiculous. I'll be the first to admit the amount of experiences and sightings I've had is ridiculous, but only probably two or three, I'd say two times that I can totally remember is, was there any sound with it? So
sure.
Most of everything's just been completely silent, like you're saying, and that's when it's trippy because stuff's going on, and being in the human five-sense world, you're used to sound coming with whatever we do, but you just don't get that. So it is a very eerily feeling. Now, I've got... couple more pics here of the stuff that you've got, sort of the collage you've done, and do you want to, just while I'm showing this, tell everybody a little bit about AAPI?
Yeah, sure. I started AAPI last year to basically investigate the phenomena through an experiences point of view. So instead of just investigating like everyone else does, single cases and whatnot, we actually have experiencers who investigate the case because they've had a lot of experience, they've seen the objects themselves quite a few years.
So they take it serious.
Take it very serious, and they know not to sit back behind their computer and be what we know as a computer detective, and then sort of suss out every case just from sitting behind their computer without actually talking to anybody or asking any questions or whatever the case may be. Now I've seen that a lot in regards to my case and plenty of others where people just make comments and judgments based on what they've heard or what they've seen without actually even calling or speaking to the persons involved.
Yeah.
If anybody was to call me up and speak to me or my family who'd seen them or anybody in Dunedoo who'd seen them, any of the police officers from Orange or Bathurst who came in, any of the coppers from South Australia who came up, they'd see that there was something going on. And the police officers would tell you themselves that what we were seeing was not anything inane or natural or what we could explain in relatively normal terms. These things are quite extraordinary. These lights were changing direction, speeding down towards us, then stopping at the blink, and then blinking out, then blinking back on again, then changing direction, all sorts of amazing things they were doing. And anybody, in their right mind can tell that, it's not an aircraft, it's not something that we know, especially that we know that we have in the military or whatnot. And in any case, if it was an object that the military were, experimenting on down in, a small country town in Dunedoo, New South Wales, it wouldn't make any sense to me that, a top secret billion-dollar project would be sent to another country to fly around, with the risk of it being shot down and then falling into other people's hands. I mean,
No, people just don't think.
It's just fascinating. No, it's fascinating that people could think that, it's just a drone or it's just this or that. But you've got to look logically at it and think, why would they test a drone over a place like that? Whereas if it fell out of the sky, that's it. That's their $1 billion gone. I mean, that's a lot of money spent on these projects that could fall into anybody's hands because, just the slightest little error, flight error, whatever the case may be, or if they're, remote control guiding these vehicles, it takes one accident and these things will fall out of the sky. Now, it doesn't make any sense to me. I know there's no military bases in Dunedoo, as far as I know, but I mean, the whispers around Danny Dyer, and the people that I've spoken to there who have had multiple sightings of UFOs going back dozens and dozens of years, you know, nobody's bothered to go up there and speak to these people. I have a lot of these people on videotape, the ones that would actually concur to actually be, you know, telling about things, yeah, but a lot of people would not even speak about it because they're worried about what their neighbour will think, or they're worried about what, you know, people at their work will think about them, or whatever the case may be. It's the same old thing that we all face in this. You know, going back years ago, you and I know about, you know, people who said that the world wasn't at the centre of the universe and the world wasn't flat. You know, people used to laugh at people who said that you could look through a telescope like Galileo and say and actually magnify the planets and moons. You know, people used to laugh at people like that until it became scientific knowledge, you know. And it wasn't just a laugh thing. People were persecuted for different beliefs. And it's the same thing nowadays still happening with the evolution of science. We don't really know what's out there, but we have a good inkling because we've seen it with our own eyes. There's nothing. Yeah, evidence, empirical evidence out there and anecdotal evidence out there in the world to show that there is something going on. And there has been for a long, long, long time, even before the 40s and the 30s. Going back a long time, they've been with it. And it's just obvious. From what I've seen with my own eyes and people around me in Taree who bothered to come up here and investigate this with me, who've seen the objects themselves, are absolutely blown away, and they're left here knowing that it can't be anything whatsoever from this planet. It's not something that we're flying around. This is something that's absolutely foreign to us. It's something that we cannot even possibly live from. Our characteristics alone of these objects and things that they can do, it's just phenomenal. What we've seen with our naked eye, how they can appear in one part of the sky, completely disappear, then appear 10 metres away from your face in a split second. I mean, what on earth could do that without, you know, you know, with the G-force and our own physics working against it, it doesn't make any sense. And I'm sick to death of, you know, the same old lies. And, you know, they think we're stupid. I mean, look in the court of law. Human testimony means a lot. Human testimony...
We've got more testimony to prove that UFOs are real than the bloody God in the Bible, but yet we have to go and put our hand on the Bible, which they literally can't prove. And exactly. I know exactly what you're saying, because you and me have put up with a lot of crap from this field. And if I had my way, I'd line them all up and turkey slap them. Honestly, man, just to piss them off. Because a lot of the stuff that's happened with you and me is people are already having their minds made up. Now, being a skeptic, I think, is good. Because what they're doing is looking at both sides of the evidence. They're not for or they're not against. They're going to logically look at the evidence for or against, try to debunk what they can, which, you know, that comes with being a skeptic. But then you've got these dickhead debunkers, and they've already got an agenda. They've already got their mind made up because it's something that possibly couldn't be real because they haven't seen it with their own eyes. Now, you and me put up with a lot of crap, but yet they don't pick up the phone, talk to us. They don't talk to the witnesses, multiple witnesses that we both have that have come to our places. They don't really look at the evidence. They look at one or two things and go, oh, that could be anything. And they don't realise the crap that we have to go through at the same time when trying to do something to get something out there. We're trying to do whatever we can, and all we get is ridicule and bullshit for it. And that, like both you and me too, we've had military-type interactions. Now, why the hell... And people have witnessed this with us. I've seen the stuff where you've had ASIO stuff popping up on your screen. I've seen a lot of stuff that I won't talk about that will, you know, should be kept private for the meantime, but I know... You've got the stuff. You know, I've had the same interactions with these people. It's a lot. And this isn't some conspiracy theory bullcrap, guys. Like, this is what's going on. And of course, because you haven't experienced it or been privy to it, a large majority of you are going to think, "Oh, this is a load of crap." But this is the fact of the matter of what you and me have gone through. Now, lately, there's been people hit out on you. What have they been saying about what you're filming? What do they think it is?
Okay, I've had a few so-called heads of Australian UFO magazines or whatever you want to call it. Put one of my Dunny Do sightings, which I put up on YouTube, and say that somehow got the time and everything and somehow worked out that it was in conjunction with an aeroplane sighting, with an aeroplane flying over, as if insinuating that I'm stupid enough to film an aeroplane claimed as a UFO anyway, and people would actually accept that as a UFO in the first place. But it does not mean a thing. We are, and many people saw in Dunedin too, that the UFOs would appear around the same time as aeroplanes. And that happened many, many a times. My father saw
it up there myself. I taught you to meditate. There was a craft that appeared. It looked like a triangle with wings, and that morphed into a ball or a disc, and then it turned into a ball or a disc. I can't remember, but we're all seeing stuff tracking planes up there, which, you know, defies everything. Aviation laws, everything.
That means absolutely nothing saying that, oh, it could be an aeroplane because it was around the same time as an aeroplane came. That means absolutely nothing. I mean, and that's the end of their whole investigation, you know? And that's, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. It's part of the reason why I started up AAPI, because I thought that's an absolute joke. At least in America, they bothered to call up the witness. They bothered to call up the witnesses around him. They bothered to look at all his evidence. Whereas here, they seem to, especially in the case of so-called, you know, these UFO magazines that, I'm not going to give any actual names or whatever, but these people seem to think that, oh, because we've one of the sightings is around an aeroplane, apparently, all of his sightings must be of aeroplanes. I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous. The amount of times we saw him appear behind aeroplanes and then fly in front of aeroplanes and, you know, appear in front of aeroplanes and disappear and all sorts of things. Like, you saw yourself with your own eye, mate, when you're up there, what they did after that meditation, I mean, and change shape and you name it, you know. That means absolutely nothing if something appears near an aeroplane and then disappears. How can you possibly say and put that down to one case and say and wipe everything off the board and say that, okay, everything he's seeing is aeroplanes because one thing may be an aeroplane? I mean, I had about at least 150 sightings, more in Dunedoo, and I caught at least about 50, 60 of them on video.
Yeah.
And, I mean, none of them were around aeroplanes, but you don't see these so-called people saying, these armchair detectives, as I like to call them, because that's all they are. They sit in their armchair and look at their computer and make up their minds. They're God's experts on UFOs. And, I mean, there is no experts on UFOs, as you and I know. I mean, apart from people who've seen them their whole lives, like us, there is no real experts. I'm not an expert. You're not an expert. There's no one who's an absolute expert on the whole phenomena because it's too wide-ranging a phenomena. Once you think you know everything about the subject, it throws you a curveball every single time. And, you know, and now I'm thinking there's a connection between ghosts and UFOs.
I was saying that to you from the beginning. That is definitely because even with the abduction phenomena or the contact experiences, the way the beings have appeared in my home and I've interacted with them, it's exactly the same as what can happen in a haunted place. And I've said before, people, ghost investigators will come here and say, my place is haunted. It's not haunted.
Sure.
But there is activity going on. And yes, hauntings do exist. But exactly. My place isn't haunted. There's a lot more going on. But there are, pardon me, there are some good investigators. Like, you've had Mariana Flynn up there. You've had Dom and Lorraine come up. So that's UFO Research New South Wales. And what's Dom and Lorraine's group?
A4 New South Wales and UFO PRS. So Lorraine Sillier is the president of A4 New South Wales and also the president of UFO PRSA, Paranormal Research Society of Australia.
Yeah, and they've come up with some stuff. Like, they've got up off their butt and done proper investigations, which is good that there are people out there doing it.
That's exactly right. They bothered to take their time, just like you did, to come up to Dunedoo to see the phenomenon with their own eyes instead of sitting back behind their computer and making judgments and throwing someone else's life and their story down the toilet. You know, and this is disgusting. It's happened time and time again to people, and quite frankly, I've had enough of it.
Yeah, well, it's the same crap that I put up with people saying satellites, and it's like, if only I had a wide-ranging view of camera, they would see, because when you're on a monocular, it's so narrow.
That's right, exactly.
And you're not even shaking sometimes the thing's going like that, but people come out and they come here, and then when they see it, they're like, shit, you know, they're no satellites, because they're able to line it up with objects around them and see, you know, these things are doing things, they're powering up, reversing on themselves, whatever. I just wanted to show this pic quickly because in my documentary, you spoke about an experience that I had with you, and this is where a disc, it would have come, what, about 1,000 foot down over us?
Sure, sure.
And
it is deep.
basically, people, Damien got this lately, and this is, in my eyes, exactly what we witnessed. You can't see fully everything, but the light pattern, you said it was going the opposite way around. Like, the lights were flickering like this, going around like it was a saucepan we were seeing, and they were flickering. Well, actually, they were going like this. When you saw it, it was going the other way, wasn't it?
Well, it actually changed direction. At one point, it was spinning around. This was witnessed by three people up at Breakneck Lookout. This is actually spinning around in one direction, and then all of a sudden it tilted on its side like this, and then all of a sudden the flashing lights appeared to change direction. So they started going from an anti-clockwise to a clockwise direction, which was quite phenomenal.
So it came back to say good day.
Any object disappeared, it came back to say good day. It must have been. It was a very similar object, if not the same object that what you and I saw and Don't You Do That night, that switched our cameras off, that flattened our batteries. I mean, one battery after another, it completely flattened. And you saw what happened. I mean, we charged the batteries all day to make sure that we'd have enough battery power for that evening. And then all of a sudden, you know, one battery after another was straight to dead. I mean, and while this craft was going slowly over the backyard, lights going around it, I mean, what else could it have been? If you tell me that's a top secret project from America, sure, show me proof of this, please. I'd love to see proof, anyone out there, whatever the case may be. But as far as I'm concerned, this is an object, a highly anomalous object that cannot be explained as far as I'm concerned. I don't know why they'd be flying down in Australia, first place.
A large majority of people, if they saw that with you and me, that with both of us that night, they would have ran.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It was awesome, man. I couldn't believe... I've seen them probably about 500 feet closer, but it was like a fluorescent cigar.
Sure,
And I've seen some other ones basically that close as well, but this was sort of... See, what people don't understand is your typical... UFO is not a disc or a cigar, really. The stuff that we've seen more stuff that isn't a cigar or UFO than have. And this, to me, was sort of like your typical flight. It was just like a sci-fi movie. It's your typical saucer. It had the typical lights going around it. Completely silent. It was
exactly,
staying...
Yeah.
Slight tilting action going on with it.
That's right, yeah. It was tilting a bit, and it was going quite slow, and other times it would slow right down, and it sort of seemed to slow down enough to let me go and run inside the home, grab the bag of batteries, run back out again, and change one after the other while it was still going over the home. I mean, that was so slowed right down. It was a phenomenal sighting. I mean, I can't explain that to this day. As far as I'm concerned, it wasn't a top-secret project. It wasn't, just some sort of aeroplane or whatever the case may be. As far as I know, an aeroplane can't flatten all your batteries one after the other. An aeroplane can't nearly come to a hover over your home. And this thing was just phenomenal. It was there because you were there, because I was there, and it just seemed to, mate, over those two nights, I had Liam Freeney come up over the weekend, and he's been seeing a lot of UFOs lately too. And over two nights, we saw about maybe 15 UFOs just over the weekend and caught about 9 of them on film, including what I consider and what the three of us consider we caught on high definition and two separate infrared cameras a landing of a UFO from the same lookout where this golden UFO was spotted 2 weeks ago. Yeah, and but I've never seen the amount of UFOs I've seen since you came up Dundu. Never in my entire life.
Yeah, no, they'll come
in that many in 2 nights. So I know your connection with them is 100% real, and I know that the two of us together seems to blow things out of the water, which is absolutely strange. And the same thing happened when you came. Over 2 nights, we saw, nearly 20 UFOs and, got some footage. So, yeah, it was phenomenal. So I know there is a connection, what's happening, because I've had plenty of groups up in Dunedoo, plenty of groups up here in Taree, and I've never seen the same amount of quality of sightings than what I've seen when I've seen other experiences, which is phenomenal. It's got to say something there in it. So,
oh, it does, man. You know? And I've noticed that even if experiences come here, because most of the time we're not outside, we're catching up chatting, but the high strangeness factor in the house... People just start, something just bloody touched me, and then you'll see their leg get shaked or the clothing on their lap get pushed down like something just sat on them and the orbs in the house. So and that just boosts up every time an experiencer comes here, the activity here, whether it is UFOs or in the house, it just beefs up. So there is that part of it too, which people just don't understand. What gets me with a lot of this, but I don't know if you've been hit up with it, but even with one of the bits of footage I've got where there's I'm filming a ball and it shoots off, and then they get a debunker on the news to say, oh, that was Venus. You know, that's just the most stupidest bloody answer to something that's literally sitting there in real time and shoots off in the blink of an eye that it's Venus. Have you had similar stuff said about what you've got? All right, everybody, welcome back to part two. We've had to do it because Skype keeps on being a biatch. But anyway, Damien hasn't had the problems that I've had with Venus, even though the craft that I've got sits there and shoots across. But lately, you had today, tonight, rock up to your joint, mate. Would you like to tell the audience a bit about that? Which is today, tonight, sort of a main time, prime time show here on Channel 7. So it's a pretty big show, although it's not in all states now, but... yeah, just tell us a bit about that, Damien, if you will, mate.
Yeah, sure, mate. We had today, tonight, come up here about 3 weeks ago to do a story on me. They say from the Friday to the Monday. And when they arrived, I caught an object hanging above the cloud bank about 15 minutes after they got here, a long cylindrical white object. And that night we went for a night watch, and we saw a couple of strange things. Unfortunately, the guys were a little bit too slow to capture anything. But, yeah, that's just the way it is when it comes to this. As you know, I mean, any professional cameraman who's tried to capture these objects moving fast or whatever the case may be has not had many luck, much luck, especially in Dunedoo. We had the Channel 10 camera guys come up with, you know, thinking that with their $15,000 cameras they could capture the best footage in history. But that never happened because obviously the objects were too quick for them, and a lot of them are quite spun out by it. But, you know, it's made them believers. So, you know, it's I know a few people now who've come up who are now full-on believers because of what they saw. But with today, tonight coming here, we saw a couple of objects. A couple of things were explained away as aeroplanes, probably a couple of satellites and that. One strange object that slowed down before flying into a cloud. So we did see a couple of strange things. Nothing that they caught on camera, but I did capture a strange object in between a hanging above a valley that flew over the reporter's shoulder while I was talking to him on camera. And this object was getting big and small and big and small, and then it had moved to the left and it moved to the right. And it was just doing up and down and doing all this sort of stuff. But it was visible in the UV spectrum, so it was quite unusual. So they didn't actually see that, but I have the footage in UV. So
is that like a converter or a connector you put on the camera to convert it to UV spectrum?
As far as I know, it was already converted to UV when I got it.
So you just buy it and straight up, it does UV. That's awesome. I've got to get something like that myself, and I hope when you come down, you bring that, because we might get some beings in the house or something.
Definitely.
You were talking about the drone beforehand too, before we went on air, how they flew a drone with you around you with the camera. I was just thinking, man, how cool would it be to get a drone, hook a camera up to it, and use it to get better footage of the crafts?
Exactly, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's right. That's what I was hoping when they were up there, that they'd capture something while they were flying around me. They set me up on the Sunday, the day before they left, up on a mountaintop at Tipperary, and they flew this thing around me, this drone, and had a GoPro high-definition camera attached to it. And this was capturing, just footage of me looking out through my camera over the mountain, and just to make it a bit more scenic and a bit more, to make more of a story about it, so to speak. And that was quite interesting. Hopefully they did capture something, but they never told me. But I did find out after they left here, I haven't heard back from the reporter or anything, but I did find out that a week after they left, the show got cancelled in 3 states here in Australia. So I thought that was highly strange. The show's been going for 15, 20 years, and then I do my story.
And then you cut out on the internet. We'll just give it a sec, mate, and see if she cuts back in.
So, but
here we go. You're back now. You're just freezing up.
Is it? Okay. I can't seem to find anything on the internet in regards to the story that Today Tonight did.
Yeah, well, I told you my father saw it down here.
That's right.
He rang me up on the Monday and said I saw it, I think he said Saturday night, and I couldn't find out what the program was. It was on one of the Prime channels, and he said, yeah, it was Damien, not your mate, you know, it's your mate Damien, and, you know, all this stuff, so, you know, he wasn't talking crap to me, but I've gone throughout Prime and Yahoo and everything trying to locate it, and I haven't had any luck yet. So unless it was like an early showing and they had nothing else to show, I don't know what's come of it or when it's going to be shown. Do you still have the show Today Tonight on where you are?
No, it's actually been cancelled in New South Wales.
Because we've got Victorian TV here, and it's not on Victorian, so it's not on New South Wales. So, yeah, as you said, it's been cut to a lot of states. I know Alan doesn't get it up in the Northern Territory either now. Here we go. This is frozen again. You'll come back through in a second, hopefully. Come on.
I'm cutting out and then, yeah.
No, it's recording now anyway. What we're going to do, people, sorry about this interference. We're going to have to wrap up the show and I'm going to have to cut all this into one video because, as you can see, the disruption we've kept on having, the cutting in and out. But that's interesting about Today Tonight, and I really want to say thank you, Damien, for taking the time and coming on. And sorry about this, mate. As you know, this seems to happen with both of us. I'm lucky to have done how many shows I have without this sort of crap happening all the time. So we'll have to get you back on soon, mate, and do a show hopefully without interference. Or when we catch up, I might even do one in person.
Oh, God. It's happening again,
Dave. Yeah, it's happening again. All right, mate.
Well,
I'll hang up while I can, or end this, and we'll just see if we can talk off air quickly. But, yeah, I just wanted to say goodbye to you on the air and appreciate you coming on, and we'll get you back on. Hopefully there's none of this bullcrap next time, mate.
Thanks for having me, Pete. I really appreciate that, mate. And it's been great to talk to you as usual. Really appreciate it.
Cheers, mate. All right, cheers.